Our presentation today is Exploring Love Languages by Mary Sue Roydebook. Mary Sue is the new pastoral minister here at Prairie. She has a strong background in pastoral ministry and Montessori education. Through her tenure in both fields, she discovered both Montessorians and Unitarian Universalists hold a shared vision that each person deserves the freedom to explore spiritual and educational truths. These combined wisdoms have been guiding lights in her ministries.
I am Mary Sue Roydebook. My pronouns are she, her, hers. 3 years ago, I spoke to a group at a couples retreat about love languages. I asked the group to come up with words that described their relationships with the people that they love most. And here is what I heard. Frustrating. Wonderful. Like a roller coaster. Passionate. A verbal boxing match. Worrisome, life-altering, important, spiritual, will be the death of me. Joy, my life's work. And the list goes on. One of the participants said to me, "This is a lot of work. Love should not be this hard." I said to her, "Love might be easy, but relationships are typically lots of work." We use the word and images of love constantly and quickly in our texts and emails. In fact, I had to send a text to our car dealership as they were putting on new tires. And in the exchange, the person at the dealership, in her haste, ended the text with, "Thanks, love ya." I thought, it usually takes a little more time than that for someone to love me. She quickly texted back her horror of sending this to me in a professional text. However, I fully understood. We are very loose with the word love. This is not necessarily a bad thing. However, love and relationships are a very different matter. Love that lives through our relationships is messy and deeply essential. According to the great psychologist and humanist, Abraham Maslow, relationships are a fundamental human need. In fact, he categorizes love and belonging in his hierarchy of needs, recognizing people have a strong desire for love, connection, intimacy, friendship, and acceptance from others. In fact, he believes this must happen before we can progress to higher needs like self-esteem or self-actualization. If we don't see ourselves in relationships and challenge ourselves within these, it is perhaps impossible to develop into our full potential. This morning, I ask you to indulge me and take a look at what Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, and I think there are people here who are familiar with it, has to say about relationship building. He invites us to recognize both our own primary love language and that of the people we are in close relationship with. It is thought-provoking. The concept of recognizing what speaks to the heart of another person most loudly at this time in their life has been beneficial in my work and my relationships. Although there are many, many tools to utilize in deepening our understanding of relationships, I would have to say I utilize love languages most often. Many of the greatest joys and challenges most of us have experienced in our lives have come through relationships, whether it be our children, partners, siblings, parents, and dear friends. What I hope you might take away today are a few questions of exploration. Do you have a primary love language? What might be your secondary love language? How might exploring other people in your close circles, love languages, help support that relationship? Please keep in mind, We all might appreciate various love languages. However, according to Chapman, there is often one language that connects to us more than others, even outside of certain situations. For example, I deeply appreciate a good hug, and I am touched when someone affirms my work. But when someone takes the time to send me a thoughtful card or spend time with me, this touches me deeply. Love languages acknowledge the golden rule, but invite us to more deeply explore the platinum rule, to treat others the way they would like to be treated. Yeah, he told me it didn't have to point up, sorry. Let's look at the first love language, acts of service. This is about showing love through actions. It's not just about doing the laundry, helping with homework, or grocery shopping. It's about the intentionality behind these actions. It's the idea of taking something off the other person's to-do list simply because you care. It's about stepping up and taking the initiative to recognize and address the person's needs without being asked. When providing acts of service, the focus isn't on what you wish to do, but whether the person requires it or values this. It's crucial to understand their preferences and the tasks they prefer to handle on their own. For instance, if the person finds joy in cooking but dreads laundry, then taking care of the laundry would be a meaningful act of service. Actions speak louder than words. Unless, of course, your partner's love language is words of affirmation. In this case, words take priority, whether they are written or spoken. A person whose primary love language is words of affirmation place a lot of importance on what you have to say to them. And the authenticity of these words is equally important. The actions cannot be in conflict with the words. This clip from the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Do You Love Me, is a great example of love languages meeting. As you watch, I invite you to observe how Goldie and Tevye are quite different in how they express and perhaps feel love within their relationship. One is seeking words, and the other is providing proof of actions. Watch where they land.
Love. Golder, do you love me?
Do I what?
Do you love me?
Do I love you?
Well?
With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out. Go inside, go lie down. Maybe it's indigestion.
No, Golder, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me?
You're a fool.
I know. But do you love me?
Do I love you?
Well.
For 25 years I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked your cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now?
Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared.
I was shy.
I was nervous.
So was I.
But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other. And now I'm asking, Golda, do you love me?
I'm your wife.
I know. But do you love me?
Do I love him?
Well?
For 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?
That you love me.
I suppose I do.
And I suppose I love.
Doesn't change a thing.
even so. After 25 years, it's nice to know.
It's a lovely scene.
Love.
All right, we're going to move past this. All right. So we now move to the other three love languages. Gift giving is often misunderstood as a materialistic love language. People who primarily speak this love language of gifts could mistakenly be labeled as superficial or materialistic. However, there is a deeper meaning behind this love language that goes far beyond the physical gift itself. When someone gives a gift, they are expressing their love through thoughtfulness and intentionality. They are taking the time to consider what the recipient would truly appreciate and enjoy. It's not about the cost of the gift, but rather the effort and thought put into choosing it. The gift becomes a symbol of the love and care that the giver has for the recipient. The gift becomes a way to express emotion that might be difficult to put into words. The act of receiving a gift can also be meaningful for those who speak this love language. For example, my mom loves to give gifts, and she is really good at it. She loves the entire process. She puts so much into the shopping and wrapping and takes such care. It is like a work of art. In fact, I have sometimes felt badly unwrapping the gift because it is so beautifully wrapped. I have noticed that a gift wrapped with care and thought, whether she is the giver or the recipient, lights her day. Have you ever seen that when you're speaking someone's favorite language? Their eyes, their face kind of light up. I would say that's her strongest love language. I have my own gift-giving story to offer, and I did ask my husband, Tim, for his permission to share this story with you, and because he's such a good sport, he gave me his blessing. I do appreciate a gift, and it's not about the object for me. However, a thoughtful gift or a card really speaks to my heart. In fairness to Tim, he did not grow up giving or receiving lots of Christmas gifts. Due to necessity, his family gave practical gifts. Now I will paint this picture. It was Christmas Eve and I was pregnant with our son. Tim was writing his dissertation and working at our favorite coffee shop, Stoff's, in Columbus, Ohio. It suddenly dawned on him that he had not purchased my Christmas gift yet. And it was Christmas Eve. And the only shop still open was the Bird Store, right next to Stoff's. Consequently, that is where he did his shopping. Let's now go to Christmas morning. There were three gifts to open from Tim. The first was a sweatshirt with a huge cardinal on it. It was awful. Not because I don't like cardinals, I do. But I would never wear one. The next gift I opened was a little wheelbarrow with hand soap in it. Tim told me it was exfoliant for my face. He was convinced. I was not. I told him it was intended to remove grease or heavy dirt from your hands. A little side note. He was so insistent that it was a gentle exfoliant. He used that soap in the shower on his body and learned a very hard lesson. The soap removed skin from places he would have preferred it remained. The final gift to open was a box of cards. Now, at that moment, Tim thought for sure he couldn't go wrong and that I would appreciate them because there are several beautiful trees on the cards and, of course, little birds, and I do enjoy sending notes. However, when you looked closely at the cards, you could see they had these lovely words: "May you find comfort in this time of sorrow." He had bought me a box of sympathy cards for Christmas. We eventually had a good laugh, and since then, my Christmas gifts have improved tremendously. In fact, they are always thoughtful, often handmade, and something I love because it's from him. Quality time. Every relationship needs quality time in order for the relationship to grow and develop. Moments of connection are born out of intentional activities and the time shared. But for some people who have quality time as their top love language, that shared time can take even greater significance. So how do we meet this need when hectic lives are often getting in our way? When it comes to the love language of quality time, most people assume it means spending a lot of time together or getting out a lot. If that were the case, trying to show you care through quality time could get exhausting and expensive. But loving a child, a friend, a partner who craves quality time actually has very little to do with the amount of time you are together. It's also not based on the activities. Quality time is all about how you spend that time you have together, no matter what you are doing. If you are attentive and focused, that person will likely feel loved. One of my dearest friends' strongest love language is quality time. I would say it is quality time with adventure built in. I have learned that what she treasures most are experiences shared and as many as possible. Not just to say that she's gone there, but to take in the world and to see the beauty in that moment, in that activity, in that place together. She and her husband have shared some of the most beautiful adventures together with Tim and I. One of the greatest joys is seeing her eyes light up when she is sharing this love language. Last but not least, physical touch. Physical touch as a love language means that someone primarily expresses and receives love through physical contact. It can be hugging, holding hands, kissing, cuddling, and other forms of physical closeness. Physical contact is known to release certain hormones in the body associated with love and bonding. This may help explain its power as a love language. Physical touch is an important component of bonding between children and parents, friends, partners, and other close relationships. I enjoy a good hug, but cuddling is usually not my thing. However, another dear friend of mine really appreciates touch. She is a physical person, and I have learned that sitting close to her, walking arm in arm, is a powerful love language for her, and that matters to me. Love languages might expand. I suggest we keep checking in with ourselves and pay attention to the changes happening within our relationships. Carl Jung said in his book, Modern Man in Search of a Soul, the meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. The talented British journalist and outspoken atheist Christopher Eric Hutchins said that despite his lack of belief in a deity, love remains the most important and significant force in human life, even calling it the only subject worth considering in a meaningful way. Yes. Love is a powerful force in life, and the relationships we build are a product of that love. Relationships are, without doubt, hard work, but the best kind of work there is.